Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer, and today we thought we'd share some excerpts with you from a special roundtable discussion with two of pop music's great innovators. James Murphy, founder of the New York dance rock band LCD Sound System and the DFA record label, and David Byrne, founder of this band, Talking Heads, and the Luwaka Bop label. Our conversation took place on March 21st of this year at the Yale University School of Art in New Haven, Connecticut. And the topic was a variant on the usual state-of-the-art discussion. We decided instead to look at the state of the artist, because we're in an age when the borders between the performing arts, visual arts, the plastic arts, and technology all seem to be blurring. But blurring boundaries is something that both David and James have been doing for years. Like this project that's been on James Murphy's mind, the man who revolutionized the sound of New York City dance rock now wants to revolutionize the sound of the New York City subway.
In all the subway turnstiles in New York City, makes a beep. It's a really unpleasant sound, and the one that's right next to it's slightly out of key with it. So it's like, unless you get it wrong, then it's just like, no. Then it's the sound of your bruised hip as you hit the thing. But I thought, like, I love New York, and I love its aggression, and I love that it doesn't make it easier for you to be a member of the city. I wanted to change the sound of going through the turnstiles to a series of notes, and as during rush hour, it would make kind of arpeggiated music, and each subway station could have their own key or their own, like, tonal set. And for me, it would just be, for a new person going to work, it'd be like, oh, I mean, I think it would just be nice. I think that would be hard not to like that more than, shut up. Idiot. Walking so slow. But I felt like that would be an interesting way to have people relate to the city, and I didn't think it would be that expensive. If anybody knows anybody.
All right. You know, a lot of what we're seeing with, like, performance art and stuff these days is taking it out of concert halls, out of galleries, out of museums, out of bookstores and stuff, and just bringing it out in places where we live and where we congregate. And that also seems to be kind of part and parcel of, you know, what we're talking about, that the artist not only has more to do, but maybe, David, a broader canvas to do it on.
Yeah, and sometimes outside of that context, that you are free of that context, where the person encountering the musical turnstiles or whatever, they don't know if it's art.
Right.
They don't know if it's music. They don't know. They might just come upon it and go, oh, this is a really interesting phenomena. Or they might think that it's happening totally by accident.
But it's kind of, I find that really interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think that when I'm in an airport in Spain that has a three-tone way of announcing things, it's boom, boom, but boom, 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 which is the beginning of the dun, 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 dun. And I always just, the song goes in my head for the rest of every time I'm in Spain. But I don't ever think of it as intentional, but it's still a beautiful thing.
James Murphy, the founder of the band LCD Sound System, has this song running through his head whenever he hears that three-note theme in a European airport. Our conversation was at Yale University, and when we opened the floor to questions, one audience member asked a big one of David Byrne. What is your songwriting process? A big question that led to a very intriguing answer.
And most of the things, for me, the words come last. Which doesn't mean they don't mean anything, but they or maybe the most malleable. The music kind of sets the tone and sets the vibe and kind of dictates that texture and rhythm and all that kind of tells you what kind of attitude you're already it has going in, and the words then have to either play against that or go with it.
I'd actually like to hear more about the lyrics coming last, because David, in the early days at least, you were famous sort of for mumble tracks when you were writing songs, you know, just kind of before the final words came, just kind of.
Mm-hmm.
The story goes that, are you mumbling right now? Is that why everyone's laughing? The story goes that Burning Down the House, at least some of that is actually the original mumble track that you just decided to keep. Is that true?
Yes and no. Yes and no. There was, I think, stuff I was writing at that time, a lot of it I thought I'm going to really let myself be guided by the sound of these improvised vocals. You don't do that. Just metal, you know, and then you kind of write words that follow that syllabic pattern because that the emotion was in that little improvisation. At least that's what I try to do. And so sometimes you can, I thought, if I really adhere to that little melodic syllabic shape, the emotion's in there, and the words don't have to make any literal sense whatsoever. They just have to not be wrong. They can't, like, throw you off the track.
Right.
But as long as they don't, as long as they stay on the track, you're fine.
And finally, one more question from the audience at Yale. One audience member wanted to know, since so much has changed when it comes to making, listening to, and disseminating music, what, if anything, has stayed the same? Both David Byrne and James Murphy took a crack at this one.
I work in old ways. I don't take very much advantage of the blessings of technology. I'm building my seventh recording studio that I've built in my life again now after promising myself never to do it again. And it's a traditional recording studio with an analog board. And so for me, it's 1972 for me. So I haven't changed that much. But I did buy like a tablet so that I can, and I'm really bad at it. I just want to be like, I can make little sounds like, oh, I'm working on a song. And but I can do like, it'll change a little bit. But I think for me, it's like I have a physical relationship to music. That's the primary relationship. And nothing really changes that. Music affects me quite physically. I just have better language for stuff and better tools to chase it.
Oh, boy.
I gave you time.
You did. Okay. I came up with something. Sometimes I think that if I work in a visual art medium or in move from like a pop song to some other kind of music, that I'm basically trying to avoid answering this question. And I only have one thing to say, and I keep saying it in as many different ways as I possibly can. And trying to fool people by saying it in different mediums and in different forms.
Or languages.
And languages. And, yeah, I don't think this is strictly true, but there might be a little element of truth to that, that I only have one thing to say. And what is that? What is that, Dave?
Dave.
He's not telling.
Well, if David Byrne has only one thing to say, he's still a step ahead of John Cage, who famously said, "I have nothing to say, and I am saying it." We've been listening to clips from a roundtable discussion held last month at the Yale University School of Art. It was called The State of the Artist, a conversation with David Byrne and James Murphy, and you can visit the Soundcheck page to download a podcast of more of the talk, including David Byrne's proposal for an innovative and potentially deadly project in Stockholm, Sweden. And James Murphy talks about how he came up with the logo for DFA Records. All of that on the Soundcheck page at wnyc.org/soundcheck. And coming up next, a live performance in our studio from pianist and composer Vijay Iyer and his trio. This is Soundcheck.